It is an honor and a privilege to introduce our guest speaker, our missionary from Guatemala, Sister Lynn Jewett. We actually do sponsor her. She didn't think we sponsored her when she came here, but foreign missions, every now and then, if someone retires and goes off the field, they just ask us if we would just continue to pay that same amount, and they'll just assign it to another missionary family. So we've been reassigned. But it is a true honor and a privilege to have you here with us this morning. Everyone, every pastor that she has been to their church over the last week has texted me or emailed me and said, you are in for a treat. You have done a tremendous job where you have been. She's been all over the state just this week alone, but it's so great to have you here, Sister Jewett. We're going to have you come and present your burden, Guatemala, to us here today. God bless you, sister.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. ¿Cuánto dicen gloria a Dios? Amen. We got some Spanish speakers. All right. You can be seated. I am so honored and blessed to be here. I'll tell you what, the service this morning already, I've been blessed. Have you been blessed already? I'll tell you, God's presence has been here. You know, as a traveling missionary, you never know when you talk to the pastor if it's going to be in somebody's living room with three people or if you're going to have a beautiful facility like this. You have no idea what to expect. Well, now, you know, there is internet, so you can kind of peek and check it out. But I have been so blessed already. I came in yesterday, and I stayed with the Browns at their home, and they had a big cookout, and the whole family was there. Man, I just feel like I'm part of the family. It is just awesome. You guys are amazing. I love it. This morning, we're doing something different I've never done before, kind of do a half and then stop and then do some more, so you have to bear with me. We've got some pictures up there already. If we can go to the one about the orphan, there we are. Pure Religion is Caring for Orphans. This is my project that God has made possible. It has just kind of fallen out of the sky, and God has made it happen. It is amazing what he's done already. In 2007, I think the next picture is our humble beginnings. Oh, no, I guess not, sir. I'm ahead of myself. We have named it HOME, H-O-M-E, a home for orphans, ministry, and education. And we are wanting to open a home. We'll have room for 100 children. And we're opening it for street kids that have never heard about Jesus, have been abandoned and abused and neglected. And I want to make a difference in a child's life. That is my goal. I think the next one is of the our humble beginnings. This was Brother Aaron, one of our pastors. He was involved in jail ministry. And he went to the prison, and he got to talk to the people that were there. And he said, like, how did you end up here anyway? And so many of them said, well, I was a kid on the street that was abandoned, and I got involved in gangs, and then we got into crime, and now I'm here. And so God just spoke to his heart and said, you know what? If we could avoid that child getting involved in the gangs and the crime, we could make a difference in their life. And so he came to the missionary and said, you know, sister, I really feel a burden for this. I said, well, I'll try and help you out. So I came up with $500 a month and helping him out for a while. But as you can see, it was pretty primitive. They had dirt floors, and we started out with cooking over a fire, like wood on the ground, like just so unsafe. We helped them out with 12 beds and enough things to be able to survive. And in 2011, we had had 42 children come through our door. Four of them had received the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Several of them had either been adopted or given to a family member. And we got to a place where all the children had been placed. And I really felt like, you know what, if we're going to do something for God, let's do it our best, give it our best. This wasn't our best. It didn't reach standards of any kind. And so we began to talk to some people in Florida. Brother Rodney Weekly had adopted two children from Guatemala, so we had a burden. He's out of Brother Mike Williams' church. And he came down, and we began to make a plan, and we established Home International, and also in Florida as a public charity, 501(c), whatever that thing's called. And we begin to work at starting something new. So we have begun a building. This is one of our buildings. We have 13 buildings up since 2012. Apostolic Man have come on board. Brother Mike Williams and Brother Jerry Dean have promoted it around the nation. And we have had over 300 men's group men from Oklahoma men, apostolic men from Louisiana, from Florida, from Michigan, from Ohio, from I can't even remember all, have come and worked and donated their time and finances to make this happen. This building was built by the Louisiana District, and it was built in memory of Sister Delisa Cox. So we have some beautiful buildings up. The next one is of the... We already did this. Something's wrong. Something's happened to my pictures. There we go. This is our boardroom. Beautiful. Absolutely. We're excited. All I need is my computers, and somebody's already sent me the funds for that. I'm just waiting until the day that we open before we buy them. Go ahead. This is some of the buildings. We have 10 homes. Each one has been sponsored by a church or a district or a group of people. Each one is a different color. We're going to have Alegre or Happy. That's the Nathan home is the blue one, and the green one is the Star House. Brother and Sister Koppel in California have sponsored those. We have 10 in all, and God has just made it happen. Right now, I have 4 houses that are completely furnished. They've got their beddings and their pillows and their silverware, and everything is all set ready to receive those children. Go ahead. There's a vocational building. I guess my pictures are mixed up, but anyway. I will tell you about that building. Brother Ron Becton called, and he said, "Are you guys building an orphanage?" And we said, "Yes." He said, I need to build the house. I need to sponsor a house. And we said, "Oh, brother, I'm sorry, but all the houses have been sponsored." And he said, well, can I build something? And we're like, yeah, I guess. He said, "Well, do you have a maintenance building?" And I was like, "No." He said, "You want one?" And I'm like, "Okay." And so 3 weeks later, their men came from their church and they built this vocational building. Isn't that awesome? It's the CM, it's got a big name, CM and Marjorie Becton, Tennessee Vocational Building. It doesn't even fit all on one line, but anyway. All those doors, it looks little, but those doors are big enough for a vehicle to drive through. And so we're picturing one day to be able to teach some kids some mechanics and be able to change the oil and change a tire. And we're going to have a wood shop in there, and we've got all the materials, and we're ready to really go to work. It was amazing. That's how God supplied so many of the things on this property. Go ahead. I got to hurry. A Sunday school department sent us funds to start the playground. That's exciting. Go ahead. That's one of the kitchens in one of the homes where the children will be. Go ahead. We're just missing the kids. This is what I want to see happen. I want to see these kids that live on the street to hear about Jesus and come and live in a beautiful home. Go ahead. Why Guatemala? The statistics are horrible. 370,000 children live on the streets. Right now, there are 30,000 children under the age of 12 in detention in Texas. They have been sent by their parents because they think that it will be a better life in the U.S. They're in detention, but the families in Guatemala are excited because they have their own bed. They've got 3 meals a day. They're going to school, and they're learning English, so they're blessed. If they send those 30,000 kids back to us, there are going to be 30 more thousand kids living on the street. 90% of them have been sexually abused. Every 2 hours, a 10 to 14-year-old little girl becomes pregnant on the street. Every week, 10 are killed by violence. I was there about 3 weeks ago for some meetings, and on the radio, on the way to service, 2 little girls had been caught in some crossfire. A little girl lost her ear, and the other girl lost her life. It happens every week. I want to make a difference. I want to be able to have happy and healthy kids that know about Jesus to come to our home and make a difference in their lives. Go ahead. You can partner with us. We're looking for $50 partners. That's what I'm needing now. Yes, we still need some things done yet to be able to open our doors, but I need to be able to buy food and pay staff. I've got some gorgeous buildings, but I need the funds to keep going. Go ahead. Sister Amber, she used to work for New Beginnings, and she's now our on-site. She is our aimer, and she is the director of the home, so she's going to be handling the day-to-day events. We've already got a donation room. These are some kids that I did a VBS with, and they got excited every day. The most exciting thing to them was the cookies. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's the first thing that they had to eat. This is our library. A group of 3 girls between the ages of 13 and 17 did a GoFundMe project. I hardly even know what that means, but hopefully you do. They raised $3,333 and came down and bought books for our library. So we've got all the Dr. Seuss and Baber and all those, you know, kids' books all set up in the library. There was also a youth group in California set funds to buy the beanbag chairs. So it's really a gorgeous building. We're so excited about it. Go ahead. I've got that. Some of these slides shouldn't be appearing. For some reason, I got that. God's just supplied. I got that one. God's good. Got that one. God's good. Okay, I don't have this one yet. The multi-purpose building, I still need $25,000 to finish. I need a refrigerator. I mean, the big, you know, refrigerator and freezers for the commercial stuff. I need the stainless steel countertop. Huge story behind all that. I have 25 people gave $1,000. We can finish the kitchen, the dining room. I don't have tables and chairs and silverware and pots and pans and all that for like 150 people. So I also need landscaping and walkways. About $12,000 will make it so it's not just dirt between those two buildings. We're not going to do the whole place. We got 4 acres, but if we could just do the front part, that would be so exciting. Those are my major needs. Go ahead. One-time gift, monthly partnership, project sponsor. I got to hurry. Go ahead. We want happy, healthy kids that love Jesus. Amen. I think there's a couple. Yeah, changing the world one life at a time. That's our motto. God bless you.
We could have our ushers come.
Praise God. All right. Guatemala is the land of eternal spring. It's 70 degrees year-round. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm the most blessed missionary on the planet. Now, you can drive about 45 minutes from my house, and you're going to go down to the coast, and it's going to be 110. So those that are looking for the tropics, you can find it where I'm at. Just a little commercial. I do have, this is our money. It's called a quetzal. And I brought 1,000 of them. I probably don't have 1,000 left, maybe 200 or so. But I'm selling them $1 for a bill, and that money goes to the orphanage. There are bookmarks back there. I can't say that word. And there's also some brochures if anybody wants some more information. If I don't do my commercial at first, I forget. So, Guatemala. You think Spanish, but we have 23 Mayan dialects and 51 variations of that. But any given Sunday, we have church in 16 languages. Isn't that awesome? It is so exciting to get together and praise God in all kinds of different languages. Go ahead. I got to hurry. I want to get to the good stuff. Keep going. I've been there 26 years. Next year will be half of my life. So now you can figure out, do the math, you know how old I am. So I wear 3 major hats. I'm the Children's Ministry Coordinator for Central America, the Caribbean, and Mexico. So I do a lot of travel in our region, and I do kids' crusades and teacher training seminars, kids' prayer. I'm involved in a whole lot of kids' ministry around our region. I think in this last term, I think last year I was in like 8 countries doing something for God. It's been so exciting that I've been in 3 nations that did not know that children could receive the Holy Ghost. And God chose me to go there and tell them they can. And see over 2,000 kids get the Holy Ghost through all those countries. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I've already talked to you about the orphanage. I'm also the administrator of our Bible college. This year, we have 608 students enrolled in our Bible school programs around the country, and I'll show you a few pictures about that. This was our missions team. It's not all about me. We work together. Brother Brad Thompson is on this side, his wife and his youngest son. Brother Brad and I are from the same home church. We went to a home missions church when I was about 12 years old, and I started teaching Sunday school to the 3- and 4-year-olds. And the pastor said that I really needed to have an assistant, so Brother Brad was my assistant, and he was 10. So we have literally been teaching together since we were 10 and 12. I never did attend a Sunday school class for teenagers because I was teaching the little ones. And that's just how it happened. And I was so excited to see Sign Language and Deaf Ministries here this morning because my first Bible study that I ever taught was in sign language. 30 years ago, I was involved in deaf ministries, and we had two rows of families that we won to the Lord where I lived in Canada. So that was exciting to see what you're reaching out to every kind of people that need God. And I'm so excited to see that. Anyway, this is our team that we had last year. Sister Amber is behind me. She's still with us, and she's working with the orphanage. I got to hurry. Go ahead. I got to get you the good stuff. Thank you, Calvary Gospel Church. I just found out this morning you've been my sponsor for 2 months. Hallelujah. We're partners, and I'm so excited. You see, by you partnering, that's not true. You can skip that one. By partnering with me, everything that I'm telling you about, you're a part of. You see, that's how it works. When you take care of it on this end and you make it possible for missionaries to go, you're the one that's making it happen. And so you have to understand that partnership, you help make all of this happen. I got such good stories and I got to get to them. Okay, those that really like statistics, we think the size of Tennessee. Our country is about the size of the state of Tennessee. And we have 203 churches, 227 pastors, 161 preaching points, over 1,000 cell groups or home fellowships. You know what I mean by that? Where you have church in the living room, invite your friends. Well, our national president, Brother Rosales, he has 82 home fellowships in his own church. And every 3 months, they get anybody who has been to one home fellowship to come to the basketball court that they rent to have a big service. And they call it Friends Day. And the last Friends Day I was at, they had 1,500 people come that had been to a home fellowship in the past 3 months. God is blessing. I took this picture last June. It was just in the city. All of our churches in the city got together, and we had a little fellowship meeting. There was over 7,000 of us because there's 54 churches in the capital city. The city has 4 million, so you know what? We need a whole lot more. But praise God for all those that were there worshiping God. I think we had 265 receive the Holy Ghost in that service. Go ahead. Bible schools, I mentioned a little bit, we have 608 students this year. We have 24 places around the country. We have two Bible schools that are under construction right now, and one of them is above the clouds. 3 weeks ago, we had a group of men from, apostolic men from Oklahoma. They flew to Guatemala City, got on a bus, drove 9 hours up in the mountains. They drove up through the clouds for an hour and kept on going, and the clouds were like down there. And they were above it. So we don't have a Bible school in the clouds. We have a Bible school above the clouds. Isn't that cool? And I think I'll have a picture here in a minute. But we're hoping they put the men that came put the roof on. And we should be able to have classes by June. So we're excited about that. In the city, this is the door to our Bible school in the city. We have 174 students that come to Bible school every Monday night for 6 years to graduate. Talk about faithful. Isn't that awesome? This is what it looks like inside. We're hoping eventually to own the whole block. We just keep running out of room. But isn't that a great problem? Some of our Bible school students in class, go ahead. You have to have a tie and a Bible to come to Bible school on their day program. And so sometimes they wear the same tie with their purple and their yellow and their green and their plaid and their same tie because, you know, they only have one. Anyway, this is the complex that they built. The group put the roof on this whole arm and two-thirds of the way across there. And so we're hoping to have it all ready by June. This is the one that's above the clouds. A group of our graduates, go ahead. Some of those slides I didn't really want in here. But anyway, reaching a nation through Bible school training. I'm never going to learn 23 languages and 51 variations, but if I can train them, they can go back to their village and reach their people, and that's how you reach a nation. Do you know what the job of a missionary is? It's to work themselves out of a job. It's the whole point of being there, is to train them so they can carry on the gospel. Isn't that how it works? Go ahead. I got that one. Never mind. Okay, She's for Christ. Have you ever given a She's for Christ offering? Yes. Thank you. I don't have to ride like that. And I promise you, for 3 years when I was on the AIM program, I rode the buses. And when I got on the bus, if I got one hand in and one foot in, I was on. And I paid. And one day, you know, we have those old reject school buses from here that come down the road sideways. Well, I was on the bottom step one morning, which I usually was. But this day, I decided to count how many were between me and the bus driver on those three steps. And there were 22 of us. And there were seven of us on the bottom step. That's why there wasn't room for 14 feet. So everybody got to put one foot in. And so you each put one foot and one foot hung out and you held on. I always liked to grab the door. I felt safer that way than somebody's backpack. That was easier. But if somebody was a real gentleman, I got to put 2 feet in, and that was really, really good. So nobody can appreciate a She's for Christ car like I can, because I rode like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for making it possible. Okay. Those two pictures of the cars, we'll just leave it here for a minute. Those two cars, those were my She's for Christ cars. Well, let me tell you why I had two this last term. You see, the first one got stolen. Well, you know that door, the picture of the door to the Bible school? Well, I was standing at that door one day. Well, actually, I was going there to meet some ladies. You know how you give your offerings, your special offerings, like your She's for Christ offerings, and the top givers get prizes? Well, we do the same thing. We teach our people to give. They might make $3 a day, but they are going to give to God. And so the top giving churches get prizes, just like we do here. It was my day to go buy the prizes. So I had like $1,000 worth of our money in a big purse, and I had the light bill and the water bill. And, you know, it was one of those days where you're just doing business. And so I was going to the Bible school to meet some ladies that were going to help me shop. So I stuck my key in the door, and my plan was to say, okay, ladies, let's go. And just as I did that, a car pulled up behind me, and 4 men jumped out with guns. One put a gun to my head and said, give me the keys to the car. Well, you know, She's for Christ, and everybody loves me, so I knew I'd get a new one. So I handed them my keys really, really fast. But then he tried to grab my purse. Well, I got what I call a holy anger. Because I was not, that was God's money, and I was not about to give it to some robber. It was God's money. It wasn't mine. And so when he grabbed my purse, God is so awesome. He saw my heart. It wasn't the brightest thing I've ever done in my life. But God was there. And so my wallet flung open. And I grabbed the cash. Well, I grabbed the wallet. Well, when I grabbed the wallet, he threw the bag with all the thousands in it that he didn't see. He threw that over there. And so then I grabbed my cash out of my wallet, and I throw it on the ground. He's still got the gun like this, trying to catch the bills. The guy's in the door with his little gun, and then there's two guys with, like, the automatics, and they're just kind of staring. And so anyway, he grabs the cash, and he takes off running. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. So the next morning, I'm back there at that same door because we had a big conference happening. We had 100 and some teachers, Bible school trainers from 4 or 5 countries were having a big conference. And Brother Jim Poitras was there from headquarters, and I can't remember who all was there. And I got to the door, and the cook met me, and she said, oh, Sister Lynn, isn't God good? I'm like, oh, God is so awesome. He allowed me to protect everything that was his. And she looked at me, and she said, yeah, God protected everything that was his. They didn't shoot me. You see, in Guatemala, they shoot first and ask questions later. And so actually, when we called the police said, did anybody die? And I said, no. And so they, well, we can't come. That's just how it is. But anyway, the next day, I'm at this meeting, and Brother Brad is teaching. I got to hurry. And his phone kept ringing, saying that my phone was calling. It said, Lynn Jewett calling. It's like, I am not calling him. But his phone kept saying that I was calling him. And then it's like, wait a minute, what? My phone is calling his phone. Where is my phone? So I began looking for my phone, and I pulled it out, and I went to pull it out. It's not there. So I went to the office. Maybe it's downstairs. So I snuck out of the meeting and go look for my phone, and it's not there. So I ran around to the borrowed junker Aimer van that I was driving, and because my other one was stolen, remember? So I went out to get it, and sure enough, the windows had been smashed. They took the radio out, and my phone had been in the door of the car. So what they were doing was calling all of the contacts on my phone and telling them that they had kidnapped me. We have the second most kidnappings in the world, so it's not. We even have express kidnapping. It's only 2 hours. So Yeah, they did that. So they called Brother Brad. He finished his teaching. He's looking at it and says, 7 missed calls from Lynn Jewett. It's like, whoa, this is serious. There's an emergency. So he came down the stairs one end of the building, and I'm coming back and just like, oh, Lord, what can happen? How many things can happen to one person in 24 hours? And I'm coming back in, and his phone rings, and they say, auxilio, ayuda, me estoy secuestrado. They're saying in Spanish that I needed help and that I'd been kidnapped. And he's like, standing right there. I don't think she's kidnapped. So anybody here ever been pre-tan kidnapped? Well, I was pre-tan kidnapped. But let me tell you, for 12 months, I asked God why. Why did my car get stolen and not the guy down the street that doesn't even love Jesus? Like, I love Jesus, and yet my car was stolen. That is just wrong. And then to get pre-tan kidnapped on top of it, like, that was just too much. But seriously, for 12 months, I asked God why he had left me in that situation. So 12 months later, I go to a conference for missionary ladies, interdenominational, from all over the world, just happened to be in a hotel down the street from where I live. Thought, oh, well, I'll go and hang out with these missionaries from all over the place. That would be cool. And at the noontime, there were tables for people to sit. And so if you were a homeschooler, you sat at that table and talked about homeschooling your kids. And if you had elderly parents, you talked about that. And I sat at the table living in a violent nation. Of course, I had all the good stories because I got robbed about once a week when I rode the buses. And I think the slogan for She's for Christ should be, She's for Christ, buy cars for missionaries. They get robbed a whole lot less. I think that just should be their new slogan. Anyway, so I'm at this meeting, and I'm at this table, and people are sharing their situations, and I started crying, and I said, I have questioned God why he left me, and why I had to have a gun to my head at our Bible school. Why? And this little lady sitting beside me had been there 18 months. She had a 4-year-old little boy. She reached over, and she took my hand, and she said, Sister Lynn, I know why. And by this time, I'm really crying. I'm saying, just please tell me why. And she said, I have been praying for 1 year that if my son was ever kidnapped or if I had a gun to my head, if the calling on my life would be enough to keep me here or if I would pack my bags and run. And she said, you stayed, I stay. And that's when I realized that I went through that situation for her. You see, I was the answer to her prayer. And you see, I also discovered that life isn't always about me. Sometimes it's about somebody else. Sometimes I have to go through a situation because down the road, I'm going to make a difference. God's going to use my testimony or my experience to help somebody else. You see, he's called all of us to live for him. He's called all of us to be used by him. If we could go to that scripture. For such a time as this, we have all been called to be used of him. Esther in the Old Testament, she was taken from her family. She was taken to the king's palace, and she was chosen to become queen. And I'm sure she questioned God why she had to be stolen. But the scripture says her uncle was there, and he said to her, for such a time as this, you have been called. You see, we all go through things in our lives. And what God's looking for is somebody to trust him. Because he will see you through every situation. You may be facing cancer. You may be facing financial problem, family issues. But God is there. You see, he really didn't leave me. He trusted me with that situation. You know, it never even crossed my brain to get my suitcase out and pack. I never considered it. It just wasn't even there. It was just my number was up again. But really, when I realized that God had used me to answer her prayer, you see, that's what it's all about, folks. It's all about living for God and letting him use you and choosing what God has for you. If we could find that verse and put that up there. I can't remember how it goes because I always have to depend on reading it. For such a time as this is the verse. It's Esther 4:14, I do believe. It's all, and that's what that scripture says, that God has called each and every one of us to be used by him. And you know, someone mentioned it this morning. You being here this morning isn't by chance. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, every single one of us. God chose this day. He knows where you are. I have kind of a thing that I've carried around for the last two deputations, actually, that God knows where you are, where you need to be, and when you need to get there. You see, God knows when I need to be back in Guatemala, and obviously it's very soon. But also, God knows where you are right today. He knows where you are emotionally, physically, spiritually. He knows where you're at. If he knows the number of hairs on your head, I mean, keeping up with mine, that is a full-time job. But I'll tell you what, if he knows the numbers of hairs on your head, how much more does he know about your soul? How much more does he care about what you're worried about? How much more is he interested in your burdens and your passions? You see, God's there. God is there. Let's all stand this morning. God is in this place, and he has brought each and every one of you here this morning because he wants to give you something. He has something for you this day, for we have all been called of him to be used of him, to be a vessel to his honor. We've all been called. You see, I don't work at your job. I don't go to the school you go to. I don't live in the neighborhood you do, but you do. And see, God has placed you there because he wants you to make a difference wherever you are. God bless you this morning. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you,
Jesus. The older I get, the more I realize that nothing happens with God by accident. Everything that happens with God is by divine order. You're not here this morning. This specific service will never be repeated again. Ever. God has each and every one of us here because he has something specifically for you today. How many of you believe that? I believe that God has a calling on every one of our lives, and he has a plan for our life. What I want to do at this time is I want to open up this time in prayer. We have an altar down here at front. And this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life because I've never lived your life. I can't live your life. But God knows what's going on, and God knows exactly what you need and what answer you need here this morning. And God has called you here for such a time as this. I would like to invite you, if you would like to come down to the front, we have members of our congregation that would love to pray with you.